Now, Jonathan Van Ness has visited homes around the country as part of the TV makeover series Queer Eye. This week, he's visiting Wisconsin, not for makeovers, though. This week, he'll be performing in Madison at the Orpheum Theater on Thursday and Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater on Sunday for his second comedy tour, Imaginary Living Room Olympian. He'll talk about queerness, gymnastics, and self-empowerment. Jonathan Van Ness is a hairstylist, author, and Emmy-nominated TV personality. Also known as JVN, Jonathan stars in the TV show Queer Eye, has a Netflix show called Getting Curious, and a podcast with the same name. I talked to Jonathan yesterday. Well, tell us the meaning behind your tour name, Imaginary Living Room Olympian. What is that telling us?
You know, it really just came to me in the car one day. And as comedy evolves, often I think sometimes you realize that like the title of the show, like maybe could evolve too. But basically, it's about Imaginary Living Room Olympian is about that this idea of like when we're watching the Olympics or like watching TV, you're like, I could do it so much better, or I could do it like this. I would do this thing. And it's kind of about learning to love that silly voice within all of us when it actually realizes that it can't do that thing and it's way harder than it looks or whatever. So it's really about celebrating yourself, celebrating what to me is queer joy and sharing that with other people. I'm a huge fan of pumpkins. I'm also newly married, and there's been a lot that's happened in the last 2.5 years. So it's all of that in about an hour, plus gymnastics. I do a full on like gymnastics opening routine. It's a real hoot, and I can't wait to come give it to Madison.
You also, among the many things you have going on, your second book came out, Love That Story, Observations from a Gorgeously Queer Life. Now, you talk about some tough stuff there, surviving abuse, dealing with a positive HIV diagnosis. You know, you confront these things, you don't sweep them under the rug. And yet at the same time, you embrace joy in your life and sharing it. And I see that on Queer Eye with the people you work with there. I don't know, it seems really healthy. How do we do both of those? Acknowledge the bad stuff and still spread joy.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I talk about in my first book, Over the Top, is about how some of like my hardest experiences live right next to some of my most joyous ones, and they don't invalidate each other. I think in such a binary society, we are taught a lot of times that like, you know, bad and good are like such far away ideas, and I think that we apply that good and bad binary to emotions like grief bad, joy good. And I think that actually like the whole spectrum of emotions can be interesting and can be joyful to process if you can find the right perspective. And so I think that's that idea that like some of your sorrow and your grief can live right next to your joy and some of your greatest, most exciting things. And those experiences don't have to invalidate each other, because actually as humans, we're capable of experiencing such a wide array of emotions. And that's part of like the beauty of life.
That's super interesting. I think there's a motivation to feel guilty though. How can I feel happy and good when this bad thing is happening in this other part of my life? How can I be smiling when I'm also grieving someone? How do we get past, I agree with you, but how do we get past that maybe instinctive feeling of guilt?
I talk about that a lot more and Love That Story, which is my book that came out in April. And I think that the key to that is acknowledging that feeling inside of, or acknowledging the awareness of that guilt and saying like, I'm going to recharge right now. I'm going to experience this joy, whatever it is you need to process that, the grief, to sit with the grief, to process your shame. And then you can go back into the fight. Then you can go back into the advocacy. Then you can go back into the community building and whatever it is that you're really passionate about. And I think that, again, it's like not falling into those binaries of like, you know, how could I possibly feel this joy when there's all of this suffering going on? Like, again, we're expansive enough to allow ourselves to feel both.
And you mentioned a binary society in terms of how we think of good and bad emotions. Also, gender roles. A lot of times we lock into these binary ideas. Now, you're on a show called Queer Eye. Back in the day, it was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Do you feel like you have some special insight to share with the rest of us growing up with that queer eye where people looked at you and didn't know quite where you fit in?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people looked at me and knew exactly where I fit in because there wasn't a lot of, like, I really wasn't ever able to, like, fly under the radar, so to speak. But I think that for people that have been othered in any way in society, whether that's, like, due to gender or gender expression or sexual orientation, race, you know, whatever, I think that all of us who have been othered in some way do have just like a different perspective because like you kind of fall outside of the lines. And so I think that's kind of like, again, like a joyful and interesting experience is like how as humans we navigate this really tricky layered existence that we all kind of function in. Like, how do we find our joy? How do we find our humor in that? And that's what I'm really curious about. And ultimately, I think that for myself, my kind of mission in life is that like, I want to spread self-acceptance by modeling joy and curiosity. And I do that in my comedy. I do that in my hair care. I do that in my podcast. That's really kind of like what my mission is to model joy and curiosity. And so it's like, how can we process this grief? How can we sit with this discomfort and also allow ourselves to feel joy at the same time? And I'm kind of figuring it out, you know, day by day, honey.
Now, something I'm always curious about you and the team on Queer Eye, when you meet the people you work with, when people watch you, you might be the first openly gay person that they've knowingly encountered in their lives. And I, that's alien to me because I'm a straight white guy. Odds are anybody I meet has met one of those before. Do you feel like a pressure like, oh, my God, I've got to be an ambassador for this entire group of people?
Sometimes I think that I do, but I don't feel it like for the straight community. I feel it more for the queer community because, I love us and I know that we have our own unique challenges. And also as the queer community, like it's an intersectional one that crosses racial, gender, you know, so many different lines, like, cause we are, the queer community is like as intersectional as it can be. And I think that because of all of those overlapping identities, a lot of us have like different trauma and different kind of like pain bodies that we're coming into our experiences with. And so I just don't ever want to add to that for people. And I know that for certain people within our community, they feel that it like it just we're vocal, like as a community, honey, like if you piss us off, like we're going to let you know. And so when I have disappointed, like, our community, that always, like, hurts worse because I just love our community. And I think I'm out here trying to make more queer liberation and, like, more equity for LGBTQ people and also more understanding amongst, like, everyone. But, you know, I think also as, like, as an individual, it's too much pressure to put on oneself because you can't change whole systems, but you can try to model joy and curiosity. And so that's what I usually try to do. But sometimes I do get pissed off on Twitter. I don't know if I'm supposed to say the P word on NPR. I'm so sorry.
It depends on how you say it, interestingly. Another P word I wanted to end with, though, pumpkins you mentioned, and you've mentioned them in your podcast and Instagram lately. It's pumpkin season here in Wisconsin. You're very curious about pumpkins this time of year.
I'm obsessed with pumpkins. I kind of, you know, I don't want to wish time away, but I am excited for spring of 23 so I can have another crack. I only got one pumpkin to adulthood this year. Last year, squash borer vine moths murdered all of my babies.
Oh, no.
So I have a whole, there's a good 20 minutes in my set that is devoted to pumpkins. I don't want to blow anyone's socks off, you know, this, you know, early in the day in Wisconsin, but here's the thing. I don't know if you knew this, but pumpkins and all fruits and vegetables, actually, they have like a flower in the process of like becoming a pumpkin. And if I would have known that they had flowers, I would have gotten to growing fruits and vegetables so much earlier. So take that with what you will.
Jonathan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Jonathan Van Ness, one of the stars of the TV show Queer Eye. Talked to Jonathan yesterday about the second comedy tour, Imaginary Living Room Olympian, coming through Wisconsin this week.